Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
Welcome to the Real Estate Fight Club, a podcast for agents where you'll witness a battle of opinions about topics affecting your real estate business. There are many ways for agents to achieve success. The secret is to find which approach will work for you. Now, always in your corner, here are your hosts, Jen Mertland and Monica Weekly.
Welcome to another episode of Real Estate Fight Club. What up, Jeff Mert?
What's up?
How have you been behaving yourself since we last spoke?
Not well, normal. It's my birthday month.
Hey, happy birthday.
Your birthday month too.
My birthday month too.
This is why we get along so well.
Two Sagittarius, man.
Right? I mean, if you're a Sagittarius and you're listening to this, happy birthday to you too.
You are amazing.
We're the best zodiac sign in all the zodiacs.
Best zodiac sign. Hey, if it is your birthday month as well, and you are a Sagittarius, I should say, because not all of December is Sag, I don't think.
If you're Sagittarius,
go to one of our social media pages and let us know, because we want to give you a birthday shout out.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Real Estate Fight Club. You know, we love that you're here, and we especially love when you share our podcast, when you subscribe to the podcast. It really makes all
you
things
comment better. And give us hell.
Yeah. Visit us on our social Insta Twitters. Not on Twitter. Insta TikToks.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Today, Jen and I are going to duke it out over this. Are open houses still a viable way to get business? Are open houses still a viable way to get business?
What do you think, Monica?
Well, yeah.
No.
Yes. No. Yes, they are. We are not even going to fight about this because no is a dumb answer.
It's not a dumb answer. Okay. Why not yes?
Why yes? Because this is where buyers come out of the woodwork. They don't have agents all the time. Sometimes they do. They don't have agents. They come in. Maybe they're not interested in that house. You get an opportunity, get in relationship with somebody that obviously cares enough about taking time out of their day to go see a house. So they are very likely to be buying a house sometime in the near future. Maybe it's a year from now, whatever. But you would have never, ever met that buyer.
And
ever.
You're like so cute about how you think that that's how it actually works.
It is how it
most,
works.
That's not how it works. And the only reason I'm saying no is because most agents do open houses wrong. If you did open houses right, they would be a great resource.
This was not part of the question. You said, are open houses viable? Then the answer
is no. The way that people are, the way that you're currently doing it, no. Unless you're doing it
not
right.
What the question was. You just said they are viable if you're doing it right.
If you're doing it right, yeah, well, fine. Team Monica.
That. Okay, see? Done. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Goodbye.
No, but there is a process for doing it right. Agree?
Agree.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Talk about the 7 levels. Now, I might not be able to remember every level.
But we do have...
There are many levels to a good open house.
Yeah, well, we could talk in general. But if you want the form that has like basically the checklist of what to do, you can go to jennifermertland.com/vault, or you could just message me and I'll send it to you. But go ahead.
Obviously, you put it on the MLS, right? That's step
one. Yeah. But what day?
Well, I think you do Wednesday.
Because your open house is what day?
Sunday.
What time?
11.
11 to what?
11 to 1.
I want to back up here. I think if you're going to make open houses a viable business model for you to generate leads, I think you have to do 4 a week. Do you agree? 3 to 4 a week. Every week.
If it's your strategy, you know, I know a lot of agents and you know these agents, they came to town, they didn't know a single soul, and they built a massive business based on
opening,
but it was their one thing and they spent all week getting people to come. They spent all
But week- if it's not going to be a viable business strategy, why would you do it? That's dumb. You're just wasting time and you're not going to do all seven levels or eight or how many ever you add or six, whatever it is. And you could be doing something else that is your strategy. So I would submit to the court of Real Estate Fight Club that if it is not, if you're going to do it right. If you're not going to do it right, don't freaking do it.
Okay. Well, you're in contempt of court. So you always have to go sit in the corner. All right. Now, listen, yes, okay. If you're going to make this your strategy, then you're going to have to understand the seven levels and you're going to have to freaking get it right.
Yeah.
If this is not going to be your strategy, you can still get clients out of a standard, basically open house. You can. I have. It's a fact.
No.
Now you got to have the right house.
Why do stuff that's not going to, you're not going to do it right? That's dumb.
Because I can pick up a couple buyers out of it. We just did. Sharon just did. She did an open house on $1 million property, 2 weekends in a row. She probably has 4 people she's working with right now to find something.
Whatever.
It works.
All right. Carry on.
Whatever. It's evidence.
You're just like, it's $1 million house because our average price point is $4.
It was $1 million house. That's why we were excited about doing it. Look, if you're going to do open houses, do it where you want to do business. Right.
That's good. I can get with you on that.
$100,000 condo open doesn't make any sense.
Agreed. So yes, putting it on, if you're going to have your open house on Sunday, then, if you're going to do it, we generally recommend about 1.5 hours, unless you're doing like the online bidding, but that's like totally different. Right. So yeah. So like 1.5 hours, and then like we found 2 to 3:30 to be our best attended ones.
Is that right? After church.
Yeah, but that's probably dependent on where you live.
And not football season. You wouldn't do that. That's right.
No, you could do Saturday mornings, though. That works too. Or like a Wednesday or Thursday kind of twilight
open houses. We're working really well before COVID hit. We were doing a lot of that.
Yeah. So putting it on the internet, like, definitely on the MLS, but also all your social channels. And I would put it with a video. Why the hell are you not doing a video about the house?
Right.
Come on.
Well, you don't want to give them all the goods. You don't want to show them the whole thing.
They're going to want to see it. And you could do a live, because a lot of these social platforms, when you go live, it means something. It boosts things. It does stuff.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? And then we'll put it on Pipeline Pro Tools and have it go. It goes to Facebook Marketplace. It goes to Craigslist. It goes to all these other places in addition.
Yep.
Might as well.
It's true. You know what I think the number one mistake is around open houses, though? It's not the open house itself. Yes, there are ways to do it that are good. All of those tips for sure. But I think the reason open houses don't work for people is because they don't follow up. It's the big F you.
Well,
the big F you. It's the most important thing. Actually, that should have been on our last episode about mistakes agents make.
Yeah, they don't following follow up.
They leave so
they're
much
not generating money. Leads to follow up on. So it doesn't matter.
Does come, they
but
don't.
I also think to tag on to what you're saying, also when you're getting the names and numbers, you're letting the buyer, potential buyer or seller, whatever, do it themselves. I think that you should stand like outside or greet them. Some open the door, greet them. Don't make them walk into the house and be like, oh, hi, introduce yourself, say your name. And then it's like, what's your name? And then you write it down.
Yeah, right. Ask them. Yes. And I always say the seller would like to have you, the seller would like me to write your name and number down. Just want to know, you know, who was.
Oh, I just say, what's your phone number?
I always blame it on the
seller. What's the best way to contact you? Because it's so quick and you are literally blocking the door.
I like that. I don't do that. I just make sure I get their information.
Well, you know, if I can make any interaction a little bit more uncomfortable, it's happening.
You're going for it. This interaction is uncomfortable for me.
No, it's not. You're used to it.
I am.
Okay. So this is even like we're talking about. So before you even do it, we missed some things. So we said, put it online. We said, do a video. Also, Canvas, it's in like a neighborhood or something like that, or Canvas those people by calling, by door knocking. Think about who is the buyer? Where do they live now? Because most of the people only move within a couple mile radius. Mm-hmm. So let's say it's $1 million house and that's a move up buyer, right? Mm-hmm. There's a neighborhood around there that's like 500 or 600 likely or something like that. That's where the buyer lives now. Mm-hmm. So shit, get a listing while you're at it.
Mm-hmm. I have one of the best tips I ever heard, and I cannot remember who said this, and maybe you were on the call.
Me.
It might have been you. No, this, if for you, for us agents that are a little bit like hesitant to door knock and, you know, go Canvas before an open house, this person does it and basically does it from the standpoint of, I just wanted to let you know, on Sunday, I'm going to be holding an open house. So you're going to see a lot of random cars here and you might not know what was going on. I just wanted to let you know I would be doing that. They also do that for inspections. Hey, we're doing an inspection over here. I just wanted you to know that's what's going on.
Can we just add, like, who do you know that
would like to live
in the neighborhood?
Yeah, if, once you
have you thought of selling? I just thought of that.
Right. No, for sure. But I think if you're uncomfortable and you want to just give a service, that can be, hey, I just want to let you know I'm going to be holding this open house. Obviously, we hope there are a lot of cars, but if anything is blocking or anything, you just come let me know. I'll take care of it.
But you have to, like, you can't leave the flyer. You have to, like, knock on the door.
Yeah, right. You want to get in conversation, right? You want to get their information if you can.
Two pro tips for, oh, sorry, go ahead. What?
So you can invite them to the open house.
Yeah.
You ever been in your neighbor's house? Come on. Lord, what are your pro tips? Let's just give the people what they want.
Two pro tips to door knocking.
Okay.
One, do not leave the flyer or the hanger or whatever you have in the mailbox. It is a federal violation.
Federal offense.
The postmaster has called me before.
Because people don't like it when you open their mailbox.
Look, I'm not trying to take their mail. What if I pay a bill? Then would you like it?
Yes. Oh, I'm going to pay one bill in the neighborhood. You could like advertise that. One, if you leave your bills in the mailbox.
If you answer your door.
Yes.
I'll pay a bill. But also bring rubber bands. Because a lot of times it's hard. Like there's no place to stick it. The flyer.
You need something to like wrap it around and tie it.
Bring a handful. Well, more than a handful of rubber bands.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Pro tips by a door knocker. I don't think I've ever door knocked in my entire life.
It's lovely.
I don't think so. No, it's not.
Also, too, if there is another listing, you should, like, I don't know, look at it.
Yeah, make an appointment, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't just go into it. You should make an appointment for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more of a what would you do question. Can you enter homes? Is it a code of ethics violation to enter a home that you didn't make an appointment for?
Pretty sure it is. Fairly certain. Yes, guys, you know you're going to get asked by people that come into this open house, and likely they are going to know more about the sales on the street than you did, especially if they've been interested in the area for a while. And you do not want to be embarrassed by a buyer knowing more than you do about the condition of a house up the street. It's just awful.
Having like a binder for potential buyer clients to look and see what else is available. And you can call it something fancy that it's like, hey, we do this special binder for our clients. Would you like to like set up an appointment? Here's the buyer agreement. Sign here and I'll show you the binder.
I like it. All right. Well, I think we can put this one down as Team Monica for sure, because that happened quickly. But I also think there were good tips in here. And if you guys do want to know about the 7-level open house, do go to the vault.
Right? Yes, it's jennifermertland.com/vault. Or just message me and I'll just send it to you.
Yeah, that's easier.
Easier a little bit. But that vault has a lot of cool tools in it.
Yeah, you should visit the vault.
The vault.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate you. We also love seeing you on our social platforms. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on the TikTok. Don't stop. And, you know, reach out to us. Let us know what you think. Are you an open house king or queen? We'd love to know. Do you have a tiebreaker on this, Jen?
Of course we have a tiebreaker. Definitely stay tuned for that.
Are they also Team Monica?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
All right, Monica, have a good one.
You too.
See you next time. I am here with Karen Santaella. Hi, Karen.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for coming on. So we are going to talk about how to stand out at an open house. So you have been, how long have you been in real estate?
14 years now.
Nice. Happy anniversary, maybe.
Thank you. Just had one.
And you're in Arizona with HomeSmart. Now, I guess we're kind of like, we assume that if an agent, if a customers coming to your open house, they're probably going to a lot of open houses, and oftentimes they are also sellers.
Yes.
So talk to us about your process, about how you stand out as a real estate agent and what you do to get them to work with you.
You know, I approach every person that comes in my open house as if I'm having a 30-second job interview.
Yeah.
So the way to get to stand out above the competition is to offer them something of value, and to not immediately try to glean their email or their phone or any of their information, but to establish trust by offering them market data. And so I dial it in really specifically for our market. I ask them what they're looking for, where they're living now. A lot's asking them. People like to talk about themselves.
Right. And it helps them open up, too, if you're asking. Because they're probably, like, at first freaked out. They don't want to be sold anything, right?
Exactly. Everyone's super touch sensitive with all the emails and, you know, the online marketing and everything. People are kind of touched out. But if you can prove to them that you could help them, then they're very willing to at least give a listen.
Nice. So what is the data that you're giving them, or how are you preparing for this open house? I mean, I have a like you have a sense of like their budget and sort of what they're looking for, right? Like that's why they're there.
Yes. When I started my business, I chose a target rich environment. I chose a zip code in which I felt, you know, qualified buyers would likely be driving around.
Right.
And so I made it my business to know about the listings in that zip code.
Okay.
And each morning I would look on the hot sheet and select a condo, a single family home, and a luxury property that was new to market.
Nice.
So that, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to say one of those things. I want a condo.
Right.
I'm looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, or, you know, we're really ready for our next step.
Right. And like so a move out property.
Exactly. And so, or a downsized property.
Right.
So I would have those fresh in my mind and be able to just off the top of my head say, hey, this just came to market. You might be interested. And that already kind of, you know, establishes you that you're at work. Right.
Right. Right. That you're a real estate agent.
Yeah. That I have expertise.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, especially if you're only doing like a specific zip code, then it's pretty narrow and easy to collect the data from there. Mm-hmm. Now you've done a lot of business through open houses.
Yes.
What is your recommendation if somebody is thinking, you know, I want to use this as a lead generation tool, like how many should they be doing like in a month or a week or whatever, in a year?
It depends on how hungry you are. You know, when I...
It depends on what you're eating for dinner. Are you eating ramen?
Right. When I first started out, I started in August 2008, and I was literally standing in an open house when Lehman Brothers failed.
Oh.
And the stock market failed, and gold went to $1,000 an ounce. And so that's when I entered real estate. And yeah, so, but we had a lot of Canadians that were down here buying, and we were, of course, half off because of the downturn.
Right.
So I just viewed open houses as my office.
And now that's how they are again, right? Like it's coming back around, I feel like. And I think it's like a really viable option to get leads. And like we said, so many of those buyers are actually sellers.
Yes, they're looking to see who's really working hard. And I have generated listings because sellers noticed, okay, I was holding an open house in a seller's market. Who does that?
Right.
You know, and so just again, anything you can do to show that you're going above and beyond. But yeah, it's so I would sit my open houses 3, 4, 5 days a week. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. In our area, people were, you know, down here for the wintertime on vacation. They were driving around. So it was a tremendous way to begin a business on a shoestring.
Nice. So if you don't have a listing and you're going to be hosting somebody else's open house for them, what is the data and the information that you would bring in order to demonstrate your expertise?
First, I would just bring information on that property.
Sure.
They're probably not going to buy that property, but I did have a man walk into my open house, my very first open house, and wanted to buy that one, and it was listed for $750,000.
Great.
So that kind of sold me beginner's luck, I guess. But I bring
you're right. It's not often that they buy the one that they're looking at.
No. So I bring information on that property, but I always bring the comps. And I show a market analysis, and I show what the price per square foot is in the area, mm-hmm. what things are going for, where because everyone wants a deal, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for value. So if you can assess that and communicate that to the people coming in, then you just have to know a little more than the next guy.
I know, right? That's the good news and the bad news,
yeah.
I think, about... You're just like, yeah, just a little bit more. But I also like your idea about bringing a property that is considered like maybe a downsize or an upsize from mm-hmm. that one that you're hosting. Mm-hmm. So then you have other, or even like, well, you're already going to have the relevant properties and maybe grab some actives too.
Yes, absolutely. So I put those in my brain, but then I bring the market analysis for the specific property they came into.
Right, right.
But all you want is you want to get on base.
Yeah.
So you just want to get to get to the next level, to get their email, and then you can start really proving yourself.
So you're asking you're demonstrating the value by giving them the information, then you're asking questions to create the rapport. And then it sounds like at that point, if it's there, then you're asking for the email, asking for the appointment to meet with them to talk further. Is that
exactly? Okay. Everyone's interested in their deal, right? They're
right.
interested in what they want. I just have to find out what it is.
A minor detail. Do you have can you give us some examples of some of your go-to questions? You said you asked them what they're looking for. What other types of things you're asking them?
I had a brilliant sales trainer when I first got in the business, and she said, make your mouth do this.
Who? What? How? Who?
What? Where? When? How much?
Exactly.
And that's always stood me in really good stead. And again, you know, when you ask questions about, you know, someone else, they often will want to talk about their needs, their desires, their situation.
Right. Yeah. And you're asking them, like, it sounds like you're asking two questions that are not just like, yes, no.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have children? How long have you lived in the area? What is your dream home?
Yeah.
You know,
what
would that look like? You know, get them to visualize a little bit.
Those are good questions. They're like, what do you like about your current home? What do you want differently in your next home?
What are your real estate goals is a good question that I ask.
I like that. That's good. I always like to ask, what else have they seen, instead of, are you working with an agent? Because that their answer to what else have you seen really will tell me if they're working with an agent, you know?
True. And I always ask them, oh, did you see us driving by or online?
Yeah, good. Good. And is it mostly online?
Mostly online, about 90%. But sometimes you do have people just driving by and they decide to pop in.
Are you advertising your open houses outside of the MLS?
No, I'm not.
They're just in the MLS and wherever it syndicates.
Right, wherever it syndicates.
How many days ahead of time are you advertising them?
You can do as short a lead time as 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. What's the best exposure that you found?
Yeah, I would say at least 3 days. Mm-hmm. At least 3 days lead time to get the best exposure. But it is so nice to have the syndications showing open house today from 11 to 2. You know,
exactly.
That helps our job a lot.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you being on. If people do have a referral for you in USER Phoenix, Arizona, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How should they get a hold of you?
They can text me my phone number or send an email, and I can give that information now. Or
at yeah, go ahead. And we'll put it in the notes too. But
okay. So my email is KH And then my last name, which is Santaella at gmail.com. Or they can reach me at my phone number, 602-363-4933. I just love my job. I just love helping people, you know, get to their next spot.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Fight Club podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you get updates when new episodes are available. And we truly love feedback and would appreciate all likes, reviews, and suggestions for future topics.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.